Ever been truer. I trust that your heart is hungry for something from God today. Thank you, Pastor David, for the reading of the scripture and the challenge that came with it. I trust that you followed the admonition that was given. I want to talk to you today about what I believe to be the church's greatest sin. It's a sin that all of us share. It's not one that many do intentionally. There's some willful sin in our lives that we just willfully and with a rebellious spirit engage in. But I want to talk to you about a sin that sometimes can be so deceptive that we can be practicing this sin and not even realize it. It's that deceptive. It's the sin of unthankfulness. I want to talk to you about being thankful. I want to ask you a question before I get started. I want you just to answer in your heart, are you a thankful person? I don't know anyone in here today that would say no. Even if I were to ask you to speak audibly and loudly, I just don't. See, that's how deceptive this sin is. Of unthankfulness is. I could ask you, do you lie? And you would, if you do lie, and we all struggle with complete honesty. You say, well, I don't. Well, see, you're doing it now. You would know. If I were to ask you about a number of sins, you would just know. But I'm going to ask you, are you unthankful? Do you struggle with the sin of unthankfulness? Or in the positive way, I'm going to ask you, are you a thankful person? You say, well, sure I am. Well, sure I am. Well, in what ways? How does God view you? Have you told God today, thank you? Do you tell God daily, thank you? When you pray, do you pray sometimes just to say thank you, not asking for something? Listen, there's supplication, and there's prayers, and there's requests, and God says, do it all. But then there's thanksgiving. I'm in Philippians chapter 4. You don't have to turn there, but I'm telling you what the Word says. Do we ever just pray to say thank you? Do we have to get something to say thank you? Is our thank you a response to an answered prayer or a gift that God gives? And it may not be a tangible gift. It may be something that you can't handle or touch or see. And I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to help you to realize, I'm not trying to guilt you. I want to help you. I have received help. And I think that what we need to do is just take a look. And I just want to talk to you today about being thankful. I want to be thankful to God. I just believe thankfulness is the medicine that cures many ills. I think that some that are sitting on the sound of my voice today have ills in their life. They have trouble in their life. They have a spiritual sickness, if you will, that they're wondering, what's it going to take to cure this ill of mine? What's it going to take? And maybe in your mind you've thought of other things and ways, and maybe even tried other things and ways, but I want to tell you today that while I do not know what that ill may be, I do know this. I do know that thankfulness brings a cure to many of ills. We live in a society. We live in a nation. We live in a time of where people are just expectant. They're entitled, and we feel like that things are owed to us. Instead of being thankful, we become unthankful. Instead of being thankful for what we do have, we begin to look around at all that people are enjoying or the way that things are going, and instead of saying, God, thank you for what you've done for me or what you've given to me, we look at what others have and say, well, I'm unthankful because I don't have what they have. And I don't want to live my life that way, and I don't think you want to live your life that way. It's a terrible way to live life. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul was completing his first letter to this group of people in Thessalonica, and he lays out a number of admonitions and a number of charges. And among them, in verse number 18, he gives us the verse that I want to hone in on. And I'm just going to give you a few truths from this verse that I hope you will etch them in your heart, in your mind, write them on a piece of paper if need be. But I pray, listen, I understand something. One message from your pastor, from this preacher, is not going to change your heart in this matter of being thankful. But it is my prayer, and I have prayed, God, I pray this would get someone to at least consider. It would get us thinking. It would move us in this direction. 35, 40 minutes is not going to change something that has been pent up, built up, stored up for many, many years. Thanksgiving, thankfulness is a lifestyle. You see, we are just naturally unthankful. So I don't know about that now, preacher. How many of your parents raise your hand? You say, I'm a parent. Okay. You teach your children from very young, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you, and you just kind of get tired of saying it, you know. Hey, I'm tired of saying, say thank you. And there's more to teaching your child to say thank you. Teach your child to be thankful. There's a big difference. We can get to a place in our lives where we just say thank you out of habit. And I'm not saying don't teach your child or children to say thank you. You should teach your child and children to say thank you. But we don't want to, we want to teach them something deeper than that, and that is to be thankful. To be thankful. The Bible over and over and over again says, be thankful. Give thanks. I wrote down a few quotes that I'll just share with you. It was Shakespeare that described ingratitude as a marble-hearted fiend. He said that an ingrate had the heart of a solid marble. He said, I hate ingratitude more in man than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any taint of vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood. Someone else said, it was the poet Milton that said, he that is ungrateful has no guilt but one. All of the crimes may pass for virtues in him. There was a British poet who had written many poems and even books, and he had made a great deal of money. His name was Kipling, and he had written many books and he had written poems, and there was a newspaper reporter that came to him, and he said, you know, he said, I have heard, I've read your works, and he said, they're outstanding. And he said, I've heard that you've made so much money on your writings and the books that you have done, the poems that you have written. He says, someone has estimated that for every word that you have penned, it's worth $100. And he said, well, I'm not sure about that. And he said, tell me. He said, give me a $100 word before I leave. And without hesitation, he looked at him and said, thanks. Thanks. That's it. That's the word. How often do you use that word? How often do you show that in your life? How often do I? Look here what the scripture says. I want to share a few things with you that the Bible says about being thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you know there's three times in the New Testament that phrase, the will of God, is used? It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's talked about being sanctified. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2. And it's found right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's the will of God for us to be a thankful people. I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of thankfulness in just a moment. But I first of all want to say it's a requirement. I hope you'll write that down. God requires thankfulness. You see, this is not just a choice. Now, I pray to God it would be a choice in all of our lives. It's a commandment. Look at it, if you would, in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. That's not a suggestion. It's not a choice. It's a commandment. Right? It's not a recommendation. It's a request. And so I hope you'll remember that being thankful is a request that God has said, I'm requesting. It's a requirement, rather, that you be thankful. I want you to look at the heavenly side. The heavenly side of this. The heavenly side. I want to talk to you about the requirement. The commandment. There's a song that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. When's the last time that any of us, and maybe you have, has sit down and just started counting your blessings? You know the reason that a lot of people are not thankful? They're not thankful. They just don't think about it. We just live life like these things are supposed to be. We're supposed to live in air-conditioned houses when it's 100 degrees outside. Right? We're supposed to have two or three suits of clothes to go where we want and dress the way we desire. We're supposed to have vehicles and gas money, and we're supposed to have a pillow to lay our head on at night. And if we're not careful, we'll just say, you know, I'm supposed to have this. Says who? Who told you that? You're supposed to have those things? No, you're blessed to have those things. Amen. We're blessed to have those things, brethren. Amen. Every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Amen. God gives us what we have. God's blessed me the way I'm blessed. God has been so good to me. Amen. How dare I take the bountiful blessings from the hand of God and not give Him praise and thanksgiving for it? How dare us as the people of God? Amen. We would expect the pagan not to realize where the goodness comes from. We would expect the unbeliever to not know that God is reigning upon the just and the unjust alike. But for a believer, for a Christian, for a person who walks with God and who talks with God, who knows where we get our blessings from, should we not give Him thanks regularly? Notice what it says here. He said in verse number 18, in everything, here's the request. Here's the requirement. Give thanks. Give thanks. You see the requirement there? Give thanks. Here, it's not just a matter of realizing what God has done and counting your blessings, but there's another side. There's a heavenly side. But now here's the human side. You say, well, how can I do that? How can I do that? Well, I want to give you two ways that the Bible says do it. Number one, in prayer. Write this verse down, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. That word just means be anxious for nothing. Don't let anxiety rule your heart now. Don't let worry rule. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You ought to pray and say, God, I just want to thank you. God, thank you for the food. God, thank you for the clothing. Thank you for the shelter. Thank you for the health. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for a heavenly home that's prepared for me. Thank you for a good church family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. Has God been good to you? I said, has God been good to you? God's good, brethren. God's good. Whether we realize it or not, God's good, but I want to be one of those that realizes it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so he said, be thankful. Give thanks. I'm going to tell you some benefits. You say, well, why should I give God thanks? Well, listen, you know you should give God thanks. I told you, it's just something we don't sometimes don't do. It's not because we don't know we should. I know I shouldn't be dishonest. I know I shouldn't be unkind. I could list every sin in the repertoire, okay? And we know we shouldn't. We know we shouldn't be unthankful, but yet that's sneaky. If we're not careful, it's sneaky. Amen. And we'll go through life being unthankful until God shines a light. I mean, just really lets us see ourselves. Unthankfulness will be the prevailing sin of the end times. Read the scripture. It's among the prevailing sins and vices of the end times. It's one of the reasons, and just one, that I realize I'm in the end times. We live in a society of unthankfulness. And so it's a requirement to be thankful. So you can give thanks through prayer, but you can also give thanks through praise. Psalm 100, verse number 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be ye thankful unto him and bless his name." Have you come today to give him thanks? You know, I've had people over the years say, "You know what? I'll never forget, I was working with a lady many years ago, and she said, 'You know, Dale,' she said, 'that religion is going to drive you crazy.' I used to memorize scripture. I'd take my scripture to work with me, and I'd memorize scripture, and they'd see me with my pocket New Testament reading it on break. And she told me one time, she said, 'You know, I believe in God and everything,' she said, 'but I believe that religion is going to drive you crazy.' And I reminded her, I said, 'Shirley, let me tell you something. If you could have seen where I was when God found me, you would not make that statement. You would not make that statement. God rescued me from danger. God saved my soul from hell. God turned my life around. It's nothing for me to hide his word in my heart. That's for my good, not God's. Amen. It's nothing for me to say I love Jesus. It's nothing for me to say, 'God, thank you for your blessings on me. God has been so good to me.'" If you could have just seen us before God found us. Isn't that right, brethren? Listen, I see you out there looking nice and dapper today, and I thank God for it. You dressed up to come to a good place. We're here meeting in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm glad you got dapper before you came. But listen, I know where you were when God found you, because I was there too. I was in that same pit you were in. I got saved out of a Christian home. In the pit. In the pit. In the pit. All sinners are in the pit. And God rescued us from the pit. We ought to praise his name, amen. You ought to praise his name that God came to you where you were, scooped you up out of that old horrible pit, and set your feet upon a solid rock, put the love of God in your heart, gave you a companion like the good comforter of the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you, put a song in your mouth. Though you may not be able to sing, you're going to sing praises to God. You're going to lift your hands to heaven and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Thankful. Thankful. We're not careful, we'll just come to church and not even say thankful. Of all the places we ought to say thankful, it's in God's house. Just come to his house and say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for having me in your house today. There was a time I didn't see the need, but God, thank you for calling me to worship today. Thank you for that call you placed in my heart. Some 40-something years ago, God put a call in my heart that I've never gotten over, brother. Are you listening to me? God put a call in my heart that I've never gotten over. Say, preacher, do you have to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and special meetings, and all this? No, I don't have to. I get to. I'm just so glad that God put that desire way down deep in my heart so that I could come to his house and lift my hands and shout the victory and say, praise God, my sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, I'm just going to tell you why. My sins are gone, amen. I said my sins are gone, amen. You say, "You're crazy, preacher." Oh, no. I'm not the crazy one. Amen. My sins are gone. I'm going to heaven, amen. I said, "I'm going to heaven, amen." This old world's not my home, brother. God's done something for my soul that no man could ever do. No church could ever do it. Listen to me. No religion could ever do it, but praise be to God. Jesus done it for me, amen. So I just want to bless his holy name, you see. I just want to say thank you. You say, "Well, you picked kind of a loud way to say it." I want to say it so the devil can hear it. Because the devil will tell you God's not good to you. The devil will tell you that God's taken from you instead of giving to you. The devil will tell you all kinds of lies about God. But I done seen the truth in this book right here, and I'm going to stick with what this book says. And that is that the Lord is good at all times. Praise and prayer. Would you tell him in your praise? When you pray, would you just bow your head and say, God, I want to thank you today? When you praise him, would you lift your hands and say, God, I just want to thank you today. I just want to say thank you. You sure have been good to me. Real, real good to me. I'm humbled by the goodness of the Lord. I'm humbled that God would be so good to me. Good to me. God been good to you?
Amen.
God is good, brethren. He's good. And I don't want to go through life with an unthankful fiber in my being. With all that's within me, I want to bless his holy name.
Amen.
God knows my heart. I just want to say thank you. And if God, I get to be unthankful, I pray to God he would put his finger on that above any other sin in my life. When I tend to get unthankful, I pray God would put his finger on it and say, son, now you're slipping. It's been a while since you've come to me and said thank you. You receive my gifts without a word. I want you to say thank you. I give them with no cost attached, but I just want to hear you say thank you.
Amen.
Amen. The requirement. Then I want you to look at the realm. The realm. Look at it in verse number 18. In everything. We looked at the requirement. Give thanks. In everything. Wow. What a statement. In everything. Can I ask you to do something? Hold your place here. We're going to come right back. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 34. I'm going to get you to read with me just a short verse of scripture that I hope would help us this morning. In everything. I must confess that had the apostle said for everything, I would struggle even more than I do. I struggle in everything. God knows I would struggle for everything.
Amen.
Did you hear the preacher this morning? I struggle giving thanks in everything. God knows how I would struggle to give thanks for everything. I've been very sick in my life. And I can tell you one thing I didn't do. Give thanks. I've been so sick I couldn't lift my head up off my pillow. I'm being real now. That's not just some little lingo I picked up. No, that's, it was real. I've been in some dark places in my life. I sure am glad that though I couldn't thank God for the dark places, I thanked him for being my light in the dark place. I've been in some difficult places in my life. And I wasn't able to thank God for the difficult places, but I was able to thank him for being there with me, that I did not have to be there alone.
Amen.
You listening?
Amen.
See, I can't thank him for all things, but I can thank him in everything. I can find something in every situation to thank God for, and you can too. I read the true story about a preacher who was always giving thanks to God from the pulpit. So much so that one man in the congregation, he confessed to this, and that's how the story got public. He confessed that he actually got a little irritated that his pastor always found something to be thankful for. He thought, well, you know, this guy, how can you be thankful in all situations? Can I tell you, brethren, God's never going to command me or you to do anything that he will not enable us to do. So don't you read this verse of scripture and say, well, you know, almost in everything. That's not what it says. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Is that what the book says, brethren? That's pretty tough medicine to take right there, isn't it? Come on now. That's pretty tough. But can I tell you, God will help you do it. God will help me do it. And so this preacher kept giving thanks and giving thanks. And one Sunday morning, I mean, it snowed. Less than half the congregation was there. And the guy made it. I don't remember if he said it or not, but if he was that kind of guy, he probably made it just to see if the preacher was going to give thanks. You know, what can he find to give thanks here this morning? But don't you know he did? He stood up behind the pulpit and he said, "It sure is nasty weather out today." As you can see, a good portion of our congregation didn't make it because of the weather. And then he said this, "I sure am thankful that not every Sunday, weather-wise, is like this Sunday. In everything, give thanks." I want to share some things with you that I hope will be a blessing to you. Give thanks, in Psalm 34. I want you to read aloud. I rarely do this, but now I want you to read aloud with me. Would you do that? I'm going to read it slow. Psalm 34, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times." I want to read that again. Would you read it with me? "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." In everything, give thanks. In everything. Go back, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians, and we'll bring this to a close. For those of you that are visiting, that means we've got about 20 more minutes. If you notice, the people that are members and regulars here, they didn't even flinch. In everything, give thanks. The realm. First of all, I want to say that the realm of, in this verse of Scripture, is at all times. You can always find something in every situation to give thanks for. At all times. Would you, at all times, give thanks to God? Would you do that? You may be thinking to yourself that you have nothing to which to be thankful. But please consider this. Lord, thank you for this sink of dirty dishes. Now, no woman in here is going to say amen to that. Until you hear this, it means that we have plenty of food to eat. Lord, thank you for the pile of dirty, stinky laundry. It means we have plenty of clothes to wear. Thank you for the finger smudge refrigerator that needs defrosting so badly. It has served faithfully its purpose for many years. It's full of cold drinks and enough left over for two or three meals. You see, we just look at one side of things so often, don't we? Don't we? There's been times that my grandkids come over and they'll be running through, and I mean, they'll be tearing the house upside down. I'm sitting there thinking, God, you're going to have to help me, or somebody's going to get more than their feelings hurt. I'm just at that age, okay? Bear with me. I'm getting old, amen? I'm just there. There would have been a day I'd have got down on the floor and played with them, Brother Jim. I'm just telling you, but that day's done gone, all right? I mean, I'm sitting there now praying under my breath, God, I'm going to need your help. God, I'm going to need your help. And you know what God did this past week? He reminded me. They're not that age at one time, boy. You might not be able to get down on the floor with them like you used to could. But you cherish those things. You cherish those little pitter-patters on your floor. You cherish them dragging everything out. You cherish that stuff. Because it don't last but just for a little while. Amen. You see, if we're not careful, life will have its way of making us cold and callous and hardened. And we'll begin to look at everything through just one lens. But God knows I want to look through the lens of thankfulness. I'm going to look through the lens of, I sure am glad that God has filled my house with little grandbabies, amen. Amen. I'm glad that God has filled our family with laughter and joy and excitement. You see, it could be the other way around. We could have a house left to us desolate. No children, no grandchildren, barren wounds. But I sure am glad that God filled the fruit of the womb of my daughters and my daughters-in-law. And now those precious little bundles of eternity come to Papa's house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My, I'm blessed. Took this old backward country dope head, saved him by his grace, called him to preach, put me under good preaching. I've heard some of the greatest preaching you'll ever hear with your ears. God put me under the feet of preachers that stood and proclaimed, thus saith the Lord. Gave me four healthy children that was raised to serve God. They're sitting in the sanctuary today, married to good, godly people, bearing little babies that I get to call my grandchildren. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If we're not careful now, we'll get to live in a different way. And we'll have such an ungrateful, unthankful spirit. And we won't praise God and thank God at all times. At all times. Thank you, Lord, even for the slamming of the screen door. Not only my family is going to know this one. You want to get this guy right here? I mean, on the edge. You start slamming screen doors. I'm going to tell you right now, the devil has a special compartment in hell for those who slam doors. Amen. I shouldn't joke about that. It just gets on me. It just gets on me. Somebody slams a door, and I mean, you might as well just poke me in the eye and put your dukes up. We're gonna go. Amen. I mean, this is going down right here. We're throwing down right here in the living room. But I sure am thankful. When God nudged me in my heart this past week and said, hey, one day there won't be any doors slamming. It might not even be opening and shutting. Thank you, Lord, even for slamming the screen door. My kids and grandkids are healthy and able to run and play. They could be sick, weak, and laying in a hospital bed somewhere. God forgive me. God forgive me. For being selfish and unthankful. I want to learn what it is to be thankful. Thankful. I have some grandchildren in the service. And I know what they're thinking. We get to slam the door at Papa's house. No. No. I'm just going to look at it different. You're still going to get disciplined. You can be thankful and get disciplined. As a matter of fact, that's some of the things we need to learn. When God puts you through a hard spot and God disciplines you, you need to learn to say thank you. At all times. In everything. Is that what the book says? I love this. We know this song, Count Your Blessings. This is a different rendition. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Please listen to this carefully. This is tremendous. I didn't write this, by the way. I wished I would have. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Thankful. Thankful. I'm going to close with this. Look down at your Bible one final time. Not only are we to be thankful at all times, we're to be thankful for all things. I want you to look back up here one more time. I looked down and I seen this word. How many of you know who Fanny Crosby is? Most of you, if you've been in church for a while, she's a great songwriter. Listen, Blessed Assurance, Praise Him, Praise Him, over 800 hymns. When she was 6 months old, she had an inflammation in her eyes, and she went to a doctor, and through malpractice act, through a careless act, she lost her sight. That doctor was so bothered by it, he left that county and quit his practice. She wrote in her memoir, she wrote in her biography, y'all to read it sometime, she wrote, I looked for that doctor, I could not find him. If I could find him, I would say 1,000 times over, thank you, thank you. Thank you. It changed the course of her life. She realized that. Now, she didn't when she was young, but as she got older, she began to realize God had this in store because he gave her all of these things because of her situation. We need to learn that God knows best, brethren. And when we learn this, see, I'm talking to you about how to be thankful. When we learn this, then we can thank God at all times. We can thank Him at all times and in everything. I'll close with this thought. Look down at your Bible. Reasons for being thankful. I said, first of all, requirements. Verse 18 says, give thanks. That's a requirement. Second of all, the realm in everything. The reason. Look at verse 18. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God wants to raise thankful children. By the way, you do too. And you can tell them to say thank you all you want, and you should. But when they see it in you, when they see it in me, when they see it in us, children emulate their parents. Teach your children by your actions, not just your instructions. Now you should, through instruction, teach them to be thankful. Teach them to be thankful. You be thankful. Be thankful. I want to give you some ways that thankfulness will help you, and then we'll close. Number one, would you write these down? I pray you will. You say, well, I'll go back and listen to the tape. Well, that's fine. Number one, according to Psalm 136, thankfulness glorifies God. God knows my heart. I am weak and frail, but I do want to glorify God with my life. I do. God knows that. Number two, see, thankfulness is going to help you, is what I'm trying to show here. It's going to help me. You see, God wants us to give thanks because of what it unleashes in our life. Please don't miss this now. Thankfulness, number one, glorifies God. It is a good thing for me that God is glorified. Number two, thankfulness draws us closer to God. Remember Luke 17? When Jesus healed those 10 lepers, there was one that gave thanks. You know where he ended up giving thanks at? At the feet of God, Jesus Christ. Thankfulness will draw you closer to God than about anything more than anything I know of. A thankful, humble spirit. Thankfulness draws us closer to God. Number three, thankfulness puts us in the will of God and keeps us in the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Number four, thankfulness gives us peace. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. It says it again right here. Would you look at verse 23? Verse number 23 of verse 23 of chapter number 5, and the very God of peace. See, when you begin to give thanks, that's how you will view God, as the God of peace. You'll know He's the God that just calms you in the storm, that just helps you in life, the God of peace. He'll become that when you begin to see Him through thanksgiving. Number five, thankfulness brings contentment, James chapter 1. You'll begin to realize that all that you need and all that you have comes from the hand of God above. Thankfulness gives joy, Habakkuk chapter number 3. And thankfulness is just a good testimony. You know, I don't want to complain, but I do. Thankfulness helps me not complain. I don't want to criticize, but I do. Thankfulness helps me not to criticize. I don't want to be complacent, but I am. Thankfulness helps me not to be complacent. Thankfulness is where it's at, brother. I pray you listen to your preacher this morning. Thankfulness will make you a better person. It will. Make you a better Christian. Make you a better testimony for the Lord. No one wants to be around a grumpy, complaining, critical, unthankful person. But you show me somebody that's got a thankful spirit, an appreciative heart, and I'll show you a person that people will gravitate to. They just gravitate to. God help us to be thankful. Let's stand to our feet. Could I ask a special thing as you stand to your feet from our my children? Would y'all come and sing "So Much to Thank Him For"? Would you do that? And that's the way we're going to do the invitation, okay? Would you just do that? I know I put you on the spot. I know Michael's not here, but we'll do it without Michael. I meant y'all will do it without Michael. Don't get nervous.